All right. If you need a Bible, maybe you're visiting today and you didn't bring a Bible with you, it would be a blessing if you could see the scriptures that you're about to hear, and so we have some extra Bibles. Does anybody need a Bible today? Just lift your hand and we'll get one to you right now. Anybody need a Bible this morning? Okay. All right. Right over here. Brother Keith, it's on its way to you, ma'am. All right. Anyone else need a Bible? All right. Right here. Brother Keith. South Lyon, Michigan. South Lyon, Michigan. Suburb of Detroit, west of Detroit. And Brother Mike is not even yet 2 years in that work. He founded it, started it from scratch. And church is already running about 70 on Sunday morning. And they are winning some of the roughest customers in that area to Christ. And he's shared some stories with us these past couple of nights that have just been amazing. Just been a tremendous blessing. And the preaching's been great. So you just prepare your heart and you hear what God has to say to you this morning. All right? Amen. God bless you, Brother Mike. It's all yours.
Well, that's a blessing to be here. And this morning, I mentioned the first time I preached, I believe it was, that my wife and I had visited here a few years ago after we met Brother Veach, and we loved it here. I grew up about a mile from Detroit, and when I was about 13 years old, my parents moved out to South Lyon, and I thought I was in the country. South Lyon's kind of a bedroom community. It's more residential and retail, not a lot of industry out there. And about 35 minutes from Detroit, and I was just as mad as I could be for a long time. I loved the city. And we came here, we fell in love with this area, we liked it. We thought for sure God was sending us here. And God changed our plans. And I was a little upset at first, and so was my wife, to be honest with you. But about 6 months down the road, we realized we did what God wanted us to do. And let me say this morning, it doesn't matter how you perceive it or what you think of the will of God. If you'll find out what that is and do it, you'll be happy. You'll be happy. And I can say today I'm a happy man, and I thank God that we didn't come here as much as we love being here. This church has been a blessing to us. When I met Brother Veach, let me just say this real quick. I don't believe in worshiping men, okay? Because every man will let you down somewhere or another. But I do believe the Bible says to give honor to whom honor is due. And I haven't said anything like this week, but when I met Brother Veach, it was of the Lord. As a time in my life where I was pretty backslidden, I had taken a church out in Illinois and pastored for about 6 months and left there a complete failure. And I said, I was done. Forget this, man. I want nothing to do with it. And Brother Veach came into our life at that time. It was of the Lord, but it wasn't for him. It was for us. He didn't need us at all, but we needed him. And it was a blessing to me to meet him. And I thank God for what God has done here, the story and the history of what's happened. 34 years, man, this is amazing to me. And this invigorates me, this excites me. To see a man get a call from God, come out and start a work like this, and look at what's going on. You know what I like about this? The fact that Pastor Mel is gone and you're still continuing for God. Boy, that makes his life worth something. For a man to die and to leave behind him a legacy in the lives of other people in the name of Jesus Christ is the greatest thing a man could ever do with his life. And what a blessing it is to see what's happened here. It excites me to see that the Lord's doing something back home, and I know it's not about me. I believe that with all my heart. It's a man praying for 2 years for a King James Bible-believing church in the town that we're in. Never knew me from Adam. He saw our ad in the paper a year after we'd been there. He called me. He had a few questions for me. And he found out I was a Bible believer and that I did have the right doctrine as far as salvation and things like that are concerned. And he said, this is an answer to prayer. You know what I believe with all my heart? If I hadn't gone, God would have sent him somebody else. God was answering his prayer. And there's just a million stories like that that I could give. We don't have the time this morning about what God was doing in our area. And I thank God just to be a part of it, just to be allowed to be a part of it. If you would, please turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter number 5, I'd like to preach to you, and I've been smelling that food all morning. And I'm absolutely certain it was a setup. Nothing makes a preacher want to preach fast than some food down there, amen? And I want to keep your attention this morning, so by the grace of God, I want to preach and look at some things in this passage of Scripture, and then let's eat. Amen. Food for the soul is more important, but we sure like eating. I'll tell you, one of the secrets of why the Lord's blessing our church, we started in a home, and we figured, well, there's just 11 of us, so let's stay every week and let's eat together. Everybody brings something and we'll eat, and then we have an afternoon service at 1:30, a little more of a Bible study, and it just stuck. So now we got about 70 and 80 people on a Sunday morning. We're still eating together, and I think that's why they come. I tell the church, I say, I tick them off in the morning service, so you be real nice to them, feed them real good so they'll come back. Amen? So some of them come for the food, but that's all right as long as they come. Amen. Mark chapter number 5, the Bible says in verse number 1, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, I like this verse, man, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. You know, Jesus right there could have honestly answered, you have nothing to do with me. If there's anybody here this morning that doesn't have anything to do with Jesus Christ, it's my goal before you leave here today to try my best to persuade you to get to know Jesus Christ this morning. The Bible says in verse number 8, for he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. And there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Man, you got to be mentally insane to want somebody like that to get away from you. But they did. Verse number 18, and when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not. But saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. Let's bow our heads and pray, ask the Lord to speak to your heart from the preaching of the Word of God, if you would please. Lord, I thank you for the chance to be here this morning. And God, I thank you for an omnipotent Savior. I thank you that you're able to accomplish the things that we're not able to accomplish. Lord, I heard a brother pray this morning about how his strength is made perfect in us. That, Lord, you've chosen these earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And Father, I pray this morning that you would speak to the heart of the people that are here. God, I can't help anybody in this room. I'm helpless. Father, I got enough of my own concerns and my own worries and my own frets and my own problems and weaknesses that, Lord, it's a full-time job for me just to try to stay close to you. I can't help somebody else. But God, I know the power of this book and on this pulpit in front of me here this morning. Lord, I know the power of the Savior that lives in my heart. And God, I pray this morning that by your grace and mercy, you'd speak to some hearts. Father, that you'd fill me with the boldness and with the power of God to preach the Word of God as you would have me to preach it. Lord, help me to say every single thing that you want me to say and not to hold back, not to be concerned with anybody's opinion or anybody's thoughts. And Lord, help me not to say anything that would exalt myself or would diminish Jesus Christ. Help me not to say anything that would be harmful to the preaching of the Word of God this morning. And Father, I pray especially if anybody's in this room today and does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, what a sobering thought it is for me to think that I'm responsible to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. Lord, I pray that that message would be clear today. And that when I step down from here in a few minutes, Lord, that my hands would be clean from the blood of every man in this room. That, Father, I'd present the gospel as you would have me to. And Lord, if they're here and they're not saved, Father, I beg you to convict their heart and help them to make the decision that they need to make for Jesus Christ. Lord, if you'll do these things for us today, we'll give you the praise. We'll give you the honor and the glory because you're worthy of it. We thank you for what you're going to do now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'd like to preach to you, only the omnipotent can perform the impossible. Only an omnipotent God can do the impossible things that need to be done. I like this story of the demoniac of Gadara because he is an impossible case. The demoniac of Gadara is a man that is so messed up, his life is so a wreck that there's absolutely no hope for him whatsoever. And I like the story because I see a lot of parallels in my country and in my generation here in America. I believe we ought to be mission-minded people. I believe we ought to send missionaries all over the world and we ought to give till it hurts to help get this Bible published. And we ought to do everything in our power to see the gospel of Jesus Christ spread. But let me ask you a question. What about our country, friends? What about our neighbors? What about the people we work with and we pass every day in our regular life? It burdens my heart to see what a mess my country has become. It breaks my heart to see how hopeless and how without God we've become here in America. We're just about to the point where we need some missionaries from the Philippines to come here and preach to us.
Amen.
That's the truth.
Amen.
That's the truth.
Right, brother.
Here we are advanced in technology, successful. I mean, we've made such great strides and we've learned so many things that we've learned ourselves out of God. We know so much. We're so educated and so smart and so successful, driving our nice vehicles and living in our homes and playing around with our Blackberries. We got it together, man. I mean, when somebody gets sick, you know what you can do? You can take them into the hospital. You can trust the best doctors in America. And they can work miracles. Hey, I thank God. I'm not against medicine, okay? I thank God for doctors. If it wasn't a few hundred years ago, whatever it'd be, my wife would be dead and our first baby wouldn't be here. I thank God for doctors. I think it's a great thing, but my faith ain't in no doctor, amen? My faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I got a great physician who heals the sick. I take my wife to the hospital whenever we have a child. She has C-sections. We go to the hospital. We pick the best doctors we can, and I sit there and I pray and I pray and I pray and I pray because my faith ain't in that joker.
Amen.
Hey, listen, I'm not against them, but any guy that's making that much money on me, I don't think I can trust, amen? Do you ever notice that? They just like to panic you first thing. Well, it could be, and it's always the worst case. So we got to rush 47,000 tests so we can make sure we find it. I think they're just making some money. Can't trust them, but I can trust Jesus Christ. Here we live in a country of great medicine. Thank God for it. I love America. I love my country. I mean, on 9/11, man, I just about left Bible school to join the Marine Corps. And I'm not even from New York, but this is my country. I love my country. But it's sad to see what's happening to us. While we've made great improvements and great advances in so many ways, we've fallen backwards in the souls of the people that live in our nation. Our young people are on drugs at earlier and earlier ages. The high school in our town in Michigan is called Heroin High. It's so bad you can walk down the highway hallways and you can find packets of drugs laying on the floor. I told Pilks earlier this week, we had a young man come to our church. He wasn't saved. He left his backpack in my van because we were having a youth outing. And so he came. And so I took the backpack after church and I said, I'd be willing to put money on this. And I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to anyways. So I took that backpack inside. I opened it up. I found two different kinds of illegal drugs and a prescription of his mother's prescription pills in his backpack. He's 16 years old. Breaking my heart to see the great advancements that we've made as a country. How successful we are. They're saying the divorce rate's dropping, but that's because the marriages aren't happening anymore. They're saying that we're educating our children, and yet our children are committing suicide at faster rates than they ever did before. They're saying we've learned so much, and yet teen pregnancy is on a rise in America. Thank you, sir. You read my mind. Is that for me?
Yeah.
Did you spit in it?
No.
Okay, good. Oh, what great advancements we've made. Oh, how we could sit around and toot our horns as a country, how great people we are. But folks, we are miserable failures. You see, it doesn't matter how many things we invent or how much we learn or how quickly we pull out of this recession or what we can do to create jobs and pump money into America. And if we pull out of it, great, I hope to God we do, amen? I like my nice living. I like my luxuries. If we pull out of it, great. But hey, listen, what difference does that make when we can't find a cure for the sin-sick soul? What difference does it make, what advancements as a country we make, the more junk we get, the less joy we have? I'll take one of those gold-plated Rolls Royces, by the way, brother. I don't know where he is. I wouldn't mind one, but you know what that thing ain't going to do? It ain't going to give me any joy. It ain't going to help me out at all. You know what we need? We need God. You know what our young people need, even the young people in our churches today, need God. We've been raised in church and we hear the stories of Brother Sabaka and what he did for God and we sit and enjoy the benefits of it this morning. But who in this church is going to get a hold of God and go out and do what God's called them to do in their lifetime and see God do something? People told us when we were praying about coming up here, they're saying, why would you go to New York? What? There ain't no churches over there because the people don't want it anymore. Said, well, you can't build a church there. Well, let me give you news. You can't build a church anywhere. Jesus Christ said He'd build it. It's not my job to build it. It's my job to follow Him. I don't care if it is New York or L.A. or anywhere else in this country. People still need Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. They still want Him. They just don't realize they want Him. There's something inside of you, friend, that nothing is ever going to satisfy but the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He created you. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. Well, I don't believe that. I believe in evolution. Oh, like God's going to hold the forces of heaven because you and I don't believe something. Like that's going to stop the course of eternity because I don't believe it. God didn't stop and check with me before God set this thing up. And He didn't stop and check with you either. He created this thing and He's the only one that can satisfy your needs and my needs this morning. I want to look at this man and see what happens in this story because it stirs my soul to see what God can do with a messed up man. Notice the first thing is the man possessed with devils in verses 1 through 5. You see where his dwelling place is. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. You know where this man lived? He lived in the tombs. He lived among the corpses of dead people, the stinking, rotting flesh of this world. Let me say today, friend, if you don't have Jesus Christ, that's exactly where you're living. You might be born again this morning, you might be saved, but if you're not living for Him and walking with Him, that's where your life is. It stinks without God. You say, well, it's a mean thing to say. Hey, I'm not trying to be mean this morning. The honest truth is, friend, every one of us stink without God.
Amen.
The Bible says all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. How do you like that? We go out and we try to witness and we do street work and we knock on doors and we try everything that there is to try to get people in church. Other than buying them, we don't do that stuff. But we go out and do all the old-fashioned things the Bible teaches to reach people. And on the way back, you know, well, praise the Lord, brother. Wonder where Brother So-and-so was today. At least we were here. We're the faithful few. You know what? Even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. If you don't voice it, it goes on up here. You know why? Because you and I are sinners. We're sinners. Listen, everything about us stinks. You haven't even begun to live until you find out about Jesus Christ. You haven't even begun to live. You don't even know what life is even about without the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for Jesus Christ who gives us purpose to live. Religion is not a crutch if it's the right kind of religion that's got some relationship in it. I hate religion. I hate what religion's done to our country. All over this country today on Sunday morning, people are sitting in church and it's actually an empty tomb because Jesus Christ isn't there. You see, our religious rituals and all that we could go through and all that we could do amount to nothing. I know that's not real proper English, but that's how I talk. I'm sorry. Doesn't amount to a thing without Jesus Christ. Listen, our religion can't save us. This man's dwelling place was among a bunch of dead people. Notice the driving power that was in his life in verses 4 and 5. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. You know what struck me about that? No matter where this man went, he could not get the victory. He couldn't get it. Here he is living a life full of power. Full of power. I mean, this is a powerful man. And there's a lot of power in this world. You can get it. Money gives power. Authority gives power. Get a good job. Work your way up. Work hard and you'll get some power. There's worldly power out there. You know, the devil also himself can give some power. I was out street preaching one time in Tennessee when I was in Bible school, and we were down in Old City at night. And we're standing around and we're singing some songs and we're preaching, and this fellow walks across the street. There's a group of them standing over there across the street, and they're getting all worked up. They're getting all mad at us. And finally this one guy steps out and he comes across there and he walks up to me and he says, "Do you know your Bible says you should kill me?" He kind of starts getting up in my face. And I said, "Why? No, it doesn't." He said, "Well, in the Old Testament it said, suffer not a witch to live." And he said, "I'm a practicing witch." I said, "Well, that's in the Old Testament before Jesus Christ came and shed his blood. My Bible teaches me now to love you and preach the gospel to you because Jesus Christ did." And he said, "You don't understand what a powerful man I am. I'm going to put a curse on you." And I said, "You can't curse what God blessed." Amen. 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 Hey, there's power in this world. He pops off, he has a necklace on, he pops off the cap of that necklace, and inside of it was a little pouch. I don't know what the thing was. He said, "This is poison, and when my master tells me to, I'm going to take it and kill myself." I said, "That's crazy, because my master died for me." And all of a sudden, behind them, man, a couple of them hillbilly country boys got out of their guitars, and they started singing, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." And he started getting all jittery, and I started preaching. I'm saying, "Listen, Jesus Christ himself came and died on the cross of Calvary to take away your sin. Your master's going to do nothing but wind up in eternity in the lake of fire. The lake of fire was not prepared for you. It's not a place for you. It's not where you ought to go. It was prepared for the devil and his angels, not you. Break free of your master and join mine, and you can get on the winning side today." And man, that guy took off like his feet were on fire. That was the wildest experience I'd ever seen in my life, man. Hey, you know something, friends? You can get a lot of power in this world. You can get a lot of power in this world, but what good does it really do you? Go on and work your way up the chain. The job that I had, it was an amazing thing how they had the thing set up. They had an ESOP program. Completely debt-free company. Didn't owe anybody in the world a penny. They'd go out and we'd buy the products we'd sell in bulk, in large bulk, stock the warehouse full. And what they did for us is at the end of every year for our retirement, whatever you grossed, they put 25% of that into a retirement account for you as a bonus. That was it. You don't contribute anything out of your regular check. They bonused you 25%. Amazing thing. I wasn't there long enough to get it, okay? I wasn't vested, so I lost it. It's all right. I'm not rich. But hey, you know what they do? They bonus it. It was a funny thing to me when the economy started tanking. All these powerful, rich men, you should have seen how they were falling apart, man. You should have seen how panicked they started getting. The way they started cutting and people were losing their jobs and what the pressure they were putting on us. You know why? The power of this world does not satisfy. The power of this world does not give you a future. The power of this world cannot help the sin-sick soul. This man had a lot of power, but nothing could help his soul. Nothing this world offered. Notice something else, his dilemma. Look at how pronounced this thing is. Man, this is a mess. Look at verse 3. Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. You know what this reminds me of? Some of the folks that have come into our church. They're in Michigan. These guys walk in. One guy asked a couple weeks ago, we're starting it this Friday. He came up to me, he said, "Preacher," he said, "I've tried every program. I've tried rehab. I've tried everything there is out there, and I cannot quit the heroin." He said, "I need God. Will you start a God-based AA program here?" I said, "We'd love nothing more than to do that. We're starting it this Friday. Pray for us." You know, this man has tried everything. He's rough, he's tough, he's 35 years old, he spent 15 years of his adult life in prison. Spent 5 years in Ionia Max, and he spent a year in the Max Penitentiary in the hole over a cup of coffee. Which I can't blame him for that. He put a padlock in his sock and tried to brain a guy over a cup of coffee in the morning. He said, "Don't mess with my coffee, man." I said, "Well, I'll give you that one, okay? The rest of it's a mess, but the coffee, I'm with you on that." He's a wreck. He's been in and out of jail. He's been in and out of rehab. He's tried every AA in town. He's hit the Methodist Church, the Catholic Church, the Contemporary Church. He's gone to them all, and he cannot beat a drug. He's a tough guy, but that drug's wrecking his life. 35 years old. Guess what, man? No man could bind him, no, not with chains. You see, the demoniac was such a mess in this passage of Scripture that they tried everything they knew how to straighten this man's life up. They took him down and they called the sheriff and they incarcerated him. And they said, "What we're going to do is we're going to reform him." And you know what they found out? They found out the same thing we're finding out in America. Most guys become repeat offenders. Most guys become repeat offenders. Listen, jail's not going to reform anybody. They come out of jail knowing more about the world, become out of jail more worldly wise, worse off than they were when they went in. We got a young man in our church, 22 years old. He's got a bunch of warrants out for his arrest. He got saved 3 weeks ago. He's got two warrants out for his arrest. He got saved 2 or 3 weeks ago, and we told him, "Listen, man, you got to turn yourself in." He won't leave his house. He's so paranoid. He just does not want to go to jail. He spent all of his teen years in jail. He doesn't want to go to jail. He said, "Listen, man, you got to turn yourself in." "Oh, but preacher, I can't." I said, "You got to." He walked up to me last Sunday, and he said, "Preacher, would you take me down to the court? I got to go tomorrow." I said, "All right, let's go." Actually, I wound up calling one of the men of the church because I got real busy and he took him down there. Man's name is Larry Smith. I love Larry, man. I love Larry. He's a blessing. Larry Smith took him down to the jail. Larry is an old burnout. He's been saved for 10 years. He couldn't read or write when he got saved. 38 years old, couldn't read or write. Just a burnout. When he got saved, he slept in the church. We taught him to read with a King James Bible and Alexander Scorby tapes, one word at a time. He learned to sight read. He can stand up now in church and read a whole chapter to you. Takes him a while, but he can do it. Larry's a blessing, man. When Larry got saved, I had to take Larry back to jail. Larry went back in. He did 90 days. Got out 90 days. We're in the car, and we're heading down the highway, and he's saying, "Preacher, you better put your seatbelt on." I said, "Larry, shut up." He said, "Preacher, no, you don't know my luck. Put your seatbelt on." I said, "Larry, would you quit being paranoid?" He said, I'm just telling you, we're going to get pulled over, and I don't want to go back to jail." I said, "You said everything was cleaned up. This was your last one." He said, "You don't understand jails. They always get the paperwork messed up. I'll go back to jail." I said, "Man, I cannot believe a tough guy like you is such a wimp. Would you please shut up?" All of a sudden, look in the rearview mirror, and there she is. The cop got me. Larry starts freaking out. "Oh, no, I'm going to run. I'm going to say, you sit still, won't you? Well, I told you. I said, just shut up." She came up to the side door. She said, "I'm sorry, I just picked him up from jail." "Slapping me, don't tell her that." I said, he just got saved a few weeks ago. We picked him up from jail, and I just he was telling me to put my seatbelt on. She said, "All right, go on and go." What a blessing. That was 10 years ago. Now Larry, last Monday, is taking a 22-year-old kid to jail to help him out the same way God allowed me to help Larry 10 years ago. What a blessing that was to my soul. And if Larry was here tonight, he'd want to stand up and testify, and you wouldn't understand a thing he's trying to say. It doesn't make a bit of sense, but it's a blessing. It is a blessing. And Larry took him into the jail, and he turned this kid in to Steve, 22 years old. Steve thinks he's pretty tough, you know. And he's standing there before the judge, and there's two fellas there. Steve got into a fight with these two kids in town. They were pressing charges against Steve. And they wouldn't let him in the party, and he wanted to come in. He's a friendly kind of guy. So he decided he's going to beat him up instead. And so the guys were sitting right behind him, and the attorney came up and he looked at the witnesses. He said, "You guys can go. He's going in. He's got warrants out and everything else. The judge is putting him away." And Steve started freaking out. Larry said he was shaking. He was freaking out, you know, getting a panic attack. "Oh, don't want to go to jail." And Larry says, "Excuse me, Judge, can I say something?" And he said, "No, sit down." He said, "No, I really got to say something. I got to tell you about God. I got to tell you about Jesus." And he let Larry get up on the stand and testify for Steve. And Larry just started preaching. And he went off so bad that the secretary said, "Hold on a minute, I got to catch up. Those ladies know how to type." He's just going at it. He's telling them about God and about our church and how Steve's been coming and Steve got saved and God's changing his life. And he said, sir, you give him the time that he's supposed to do, and I promise you he's going to come out worse. He said, why don't you give us the same amount of time to see what God will do in his life? And he said, and I guarantee you he'll be better. And the judge changed Steve's sentence and gave him probation and let him go. What a blessing, man. Now, we got a couple more. We got to get cleaned up, so pray for some more miracles like that. But praise God for that blessing. Hey, listen, the jail is not going to fix Steve's problem. Steve will just come out tougher and worse off than he was when he went in. Rehab can't help. There's a rehab in our area, the one that we live in, Brighton. We're right next to South Lyon. And the rehab in Brighton, Michigan is the one Eminem went into. You remember that, the rapper Eminem? He checked into the rehab in Brighton. It's known nationwide. It's supposed to be the greatest rehab in the world. Brian is 49 years old. He called in and he said, listen, I gotta check in. I'm a mess. You know what they told him? We don't have a bed till tomorrow, so get as drunk as you can between today and tomorrow. Guess what? He got up in the morning and called, and the beds still weren't available. So his wife calls me about noon and says, preacher, Brian's a mess. I'm afraid he's going to kill himself. He's going to get alcohol poisoning. He's puking. He's rolling around on the floor in the living room here. You got to get some help, preacher. I'm going to lose my mind. Can you please come help me? Brian will listen to you. He won't listen to anybody else. Went over to Brian's house and picked Brian up. He walked in. What are you doing here? You call the preacher again. Leave him alone. I said, Brian, get your shoes and socks on. He said, get out of my house. I said, get your shoes and socks on. You're going with me. I'll get out of your house when you come with me. Let's go. What are you doing here? I said, you're killing this woman. I'm going to get you out of her hair for a little while. Get your shoes and socks on. She went. She got his shoes and socks. He got in the car and went up with me to the church. He passed out on the platform. I did it on purpose. I said, let's pray a little while. Sometimes it ain't what it looks like. Amen. We knelt down and started praying. He started snoring, and I got up and went and studied until he sobered up a little bit. Fed him some McDonald's, drank a couple pots of coffee, and started preaching at him. And I said, Brian, what those idiots told you is a bunch of garbage. I said, you go ahead and check yourself in. That's fine. But don't you touch another can of that junk. You can't handle it. You see, you're being beat by a 12-ounce curl. You're a big man, aren't you? You're a tough man, aren't you? You're being beat and destroyed by a 12-ounce curl. You see, rehab can't help Brian. Rehab could not help the demon act of Gadara. No man could bind him, no, not with chains. I mean, they even took him out to the psychologist, and he laid down on the couch and crossed his fingers behind his head, and the psychologist said, tell me about your life. And he started whining and complaining about how rough he'd had it and how bad it was for him. And he griped about his wife and he talked about his children and his parents and how his daddy used to slap him around and all the bad things that happened in his life. And the psychologist said, I know what to do. Take some of this dope and this will help you out. Your problem's everybody else's fault, not yours. Your life is a mess today because of all the bad things that's happened to you in your life. God doesn't love you. Take the drugs and I can help you. So you know what happened? He got hooked on the drugs. Amen? In America, some of us have switched our drug dealer from the thug on the street, who, by the way, you can trust more, than the thug in the white coat. Amen. Listen, I ain't against medicine if you go to take it. Amen? When I'm hurting, I appreciate it. But hey, you better watch out for putting your hope in that stuff. This man could not be helped. So after the psychologist failed, they took him down to the preacher. He went to church. And the preacher, he came into the preacher, and the preacher said, oh, this is a mess. Go say 47,000 Hail Marys, a few Our Fathers, and if you put a couple thousand bucks in the plate, I'll pray God will forgive you, and we'll see if you can be changed. And guess what? Religion failed. He went home. He did the same thing he'd always been doing. They took him down to the Bible-believing preacher and he prayed over him and he preached at him. But guess what? It failed. See, nothing could help this man. No man could bind him, no, not with chains. But notice in verse number 6, I want you to see the Most High's power. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. You know what I find weird about that? This man wasn't even a follower of Jesus Christ. This man wasn't even a Christian, but he knew when he saw the Lord that that was the one. He was the only one that could help him out. He was the one he was longing for in his soul. He was enslaved to sin. He was beat down and overpowered by what was going on in his life. But when he saw Jesus Christ, he ran to him and bowed down before him. I'm thankful today there was a day when I ran to Jesus Christ. Man, I don't know what it is, but somehow or another, He knows how to speak to your heart. He can speak to you. When he saw Jesus Christ, he ran to Him. You know what Jesus said? If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto Me. You see, sometimes we make excuses for why we don't witness. Well, I'm just not good at talking to people. Yeah, right, you got a phone. Talking an awful lot on that thing. We know how to talk to people. What you mean is, I've never been educated on how to sound super spiritual, and my life is such a mess right now, I'm afraid to be a witness because I don't want people to think all Christians are as sorry as me. Amen? You know how I know that? I've been there. Amen? We're all the same. Hey, listen, you don't have to know how to lead somebody to Christ. All you got to do is know that the Christ you've got is the Christ that they need. Even when they don't know Him, they'll come to Him if He's lifted up. Notice something else. Look at what the demon act declared in verse number 7. He cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God?" You know what he said? He said, "Jesus, what are you doing here? I got no business with you." And you know what? If he's honest, this guy's honest. You know what a lot of people like to tell me? "Well, preacher, I got some things in my life I need to get straightened out before I come to church. You know, I have a problem with drinking. I'm an alcoholic. It's a disease. It's not a sin. It's a disease. I'm an alcoholic. Preacher, once I get rid of the alcohol, I just don't want to be a hypocrite, preacher." You know what he's saying? What have I to do with Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? You know what the answer is? Nothing. We love Him because He first loved us. You see, it's not about you coming to Jesus and presenting yourself so wonderful in Jesus' eyes that He now transforms you and makes you a wonderful Christian. It's about you realizing that you got nothing to do with Him, but He came for you. I'm glad He came to this earth and lived the perfect life. You know why? Because I'm a sinner. And I needed a Savior. Everything this world had to offer could not provide for me what my soul needed. Listen, friend, I got saved when I was 5 years old, and there's no doubt in my mind I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior at 5 years old. I grew up in church my whole life, got to be about 15 years old, and I knew God wanted me to be a preacher. That was fine when I was younger, but when I got older, I said, oh man, I ain't going to be a dork. I never met a preacher in the world that ain't weird, amen? I just thought they were all weird. They're just weird. When I came to grips with the fact that I'm weird, I plugged right in, amen? Works perfect for me now. I didn't want to be a preacher. So forget that stuff. I started backsliding on God and ran from God. I moved from state to state, running from God, running from the call to preach, running from Jesus Christ, running from Christians, and tried finding fun everywhere in the world. And all I found was tombs and corpses. And I realized, what have I got to do with Jesus Christ? Nothing. Why should He forgive me? Why should He use me? I knew better when I was backslidden. I knew better when I was living like hell. Why would God ever use me? What have I to do with Him? And the answer is nothing. But it's weird how He has so much to do with me. It's weird how much He wants to be in my life. It's weird that Almighty God would take a sinner like me and use him to help other sinners come to Jesus Christ. Highest calling in the world. Nothing could be better. What have I to do with Him? Well, you probably have nothing to do with Him this morning. Notice in verse 7b, this guy didn't understand Jesus and what He was all about. He said, "I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." You know, it's amazing to me how people can hear, they'll hear a half-hour sermon or a one-hour sermon, and all they'll hear is a preacher preached about hell, but they won't hear the love of Jesus Christ. They won't hear what Jesus Christ did for them. This man was thinking Jesus came to torment him. Jesus didn't come to judge you. He said His Father's going to do that. He came to save you, friend. Jesus Christ doesn't want to come into your life to make you miserable. His goal is not to enter our lives and steal all the fun and make us sit around holy rollers that don't have any fun, long-faced, walking to the house of mourning, the house of God. Walking to church sometimes like it's a funeral dirge, man. Hey, that's not Jesus Christ. Just because that's what you've seen in religion doesn't mean that's a Christian life. A Christian life is full of power. It's full of joy. It's full of excitement. I mean, God blesses and moves, and there's nothing like knowing Jesus Christ and seeing Him do what you can't do. It's a great life. I have more fun in one day now than I had in 2 years living for the devil. I have a good life, man. It's exciting. You know, Wednesday morning, I was in a trailer breaking up a fight. That was great. That was exciting to me. I didn't even know feels to your flesh sometimes. Phone rings. Nobody's there. Hello. I knew who it was. Took off running out there. Busting up in the trailer park. There's six guys in there. Two brothers are trying to rip each other apart. One kid ripped the other kid's earring out of his ear. He's bleeding all over the place. Screaming and cussing. Oh, man, it was fun. Took him up to the church and spent 3 hours up there with the church praying with them and preaching at them. You know what? God's going to do something with those boys. God's going to do something with them. You watch. You wait. By the grace of God, someday I'll bring them with me. Come over. Wouldn't that be neat to see just a couple rows filled up with thugs that the power of God changed? Amen. Amen. That's the power that God has. Jesus didn't come to ruin your life. He came to make it good. These fellas have tried everything. They've tried every drug. They've tried every alcohol. They've chased all the women and they've sought the money and they sell the dope to get some money and they do whatever they can to have fun and make it through the day. I mean, these guys are broke as they could be and there's a stack this tall of video games in their apartment. Ain't no sin in video games, okay? But there's a stack this tall. I'm like, where'd you guys come up with the money for all these video games? Like, good night, man. You don't have a bank account, but you got thousands of dollars in video games all over around this place. You know what they're doing? They're just looking for fun. Sit around, smoke dope, and play video games. You know what they are? Miserable. When a 20-something-year-old kid will stand there and look you straight in the eyes and cry like a baby when nobody else is around because he wants to kill himself, you know he ain't finding what he needs in this world. It ain't out there. Go ahead, find it, look for it. It ain't out there. You know where it is? It's in Jesus Christ. Verse number 8, Jesus says, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." Thank God for that. Notice the perspective the multitudes had in verse 14. They that fed the swine and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. Verse 16, and they saw it. They that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. That to me, that's a trip to me. I cannot figure out why these guys would ask Jesus to leave. There's only one reason. They made their money in the swine. And when Jesus showed up, he affected their pocketbook, and so they didn't want anything to do with him. You cannot serve God and mammon. God takes good care of his servants. I don't believe in the prosperity gospel, amen? I think that's a bunch of garbage. You know, you give 100, God will give you 1,000. That's a salesman's trick. But let me tell you the truth. God takes care of his people. God takes care of them. Here these fellas, they didn't want Jesus around. I'm glad the demon act was man enough to follow Jesus Christ, no matter what everybody else thought. We like to look around at people around us, and if I become a Christian, everybody will think I'm weird. Well, you're weird without being a Christian, amen? Follow Jesus Christ and be weird with Him and have a future. I'm fine with following Jesus Christ, no matter what the multitudes do. Listen, if billions of people believe a lie, it's still a lie. Amen? If billions of people believe a foolish thing, still foolish. Jesus Christ created this earth that we live on. Jesus Christ created the people in this room, and only the Creator can give us what we need. Well, I believe I came from a monkey. Well, good for you. You have extraordinary faith. That's right. That's right. Next time you get into it with somebody in evolution, friendly and kindly commend them for being an extraordinary man or woman of faith. Well, I'm not a man of faith. I don't believe in God. No, you are, because you can't prove the Big Bang happened. You believe a textbook. You put your faith in the textbook and in your intellect. I put my faith in the fact that God had to do this. It's just about impossible. It is impossible. God had to do this thing, man. And my faith is in the Bible. See, it's all in what you want to put your faith in. And it is faith. Listen, we have a Creator, friend. If everybody else believes something different, let them go their way. I'm putting my faith in Jesus Christ. So they begged him to leave. Notice the maniac's prayer in verse number 18. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. This demoniac, after Jesus Christ got a hold of his life, he was begging the Lord God Almighty to let him stay with Jesus Christ. You see, there's something really weird about the Holy Spirit of God moving into the soul of a man. You see, that's what happens when you bow your knee, ask God to forgive you for your sins, ask Jesus Christ to save your soul from hell. When he becomes your personal Savior, he moves in and resides inside of you. He changes that heart. Something weird happens inside of you, and I can't explain it to you unless you've been there. If you haven't been there, you can't even understand what I'm saying. Something filled up in my soul when I got Jesus Christ in my life. Something inside of me gave me something worth living for. I mean, I can't put my finger on it. Doctrinally, we could talk all day and we could study, and your pastor's real good at that. He'll teach you all that stuff. I'm not trying to teach you the doctrine. I'm just trying to tell you, you've got to get Jesus Christ in your heart. Christian, if you're saved, you've got to pray and beg him that he'll let you stay in his presence. See, he puts a longing in your soul that only he can fulfill. I got a call yesterday from some angry guy. He said, tell your people to stay out of our neighborhood. I said, really? That's straight. Why is that? We don't want you Bible thumpers in our neighborhood. They're putting flyers on the door inviting people to the Overcomers program. He said, we don't want you Bible thumpers in our neighborhood. I said, that's really weird because I got about 10 people in my church right now that are coming from your neighborhood. So the rest of the neighborhood wants us. And he hung up on me. You know why he got mad? At the bottom of that flyer, it says, search the bottom of a million bottles and you'll never find what you're looking for. Shoot, snort, or smoke any drug in the world and you will never be satisfied. And he ain't satisfied. He ain't satisfied. But this demoniac, he became satisfied. He got Jesus Christ and he said, I want to stay right here. You see, there's some living water in the Lord Jesus Christ that quenches a thirsty soul. You search those liquor bottles, you wake up with a hangover, you wake up with the cotton mouth, you wake up miserable and depressed. A beautiful sunshine day is a curse because your head's hurting. You don't feel good. That's what liquor will do for you over and over and over again. Wall will be a little lighter. Family will be a little more miserable. Wife will be complaining a little more because you don't quit. Hey, listen, that ain't going to satisfy. But when you get Jesus Christ in your soul, for some reason the sun shines a little brighter. The leaves look a little brighter. I mean, it's just more beautiful. The air smells fresh, even in New York City. Amen. Yeah. It smells good. I mean, brother, you just got something in your soul that you can't explain to people. It's Jesus Christ himself. The maniac said, please, Jesus, let me stay here. And Jesus said, not yet. You know what we want when you get saved? There's something inside of you that wants to go to heaven. Wouldn't it be nice not to have to pay any more bills? Not to have to worry about the next doctor's appointment? Not to have to worry about if the kids are going to serve God? Not to have to worry about all the things we worry about in life? Boy, if I knew when the rapture was, I'd go out and I'd get about 20 credit cards. Run them up. Everybody says I go out and sell out and win souls. I'd get credit cards and I'd run them up while I was passing out tracts. Amen. Go get me a few BMWs, a couple Harleys. That'd be nice. I wouldn't have to worry about those bills, man. I'm out of here. Praise the Lord. Hey, you know, there's something inside a Christian that wants to cut loose, man. We want to get out of here. But Jesus Christ's answer wasn't what he expected it. Jesus suffered him not, but said, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee. You know, folks, in order for us to be the right kind of Christians, we got to be willing to go tell people what great things God has done for us. You know what's happening in South Lyon, Michigan? God. God. I don't know how to build a church. I'm not just saying that. I mean it. I have no clue. I'm disorganized. I'm terrible. I'm terrible. I don't know how to do it. But Jesus Christ said he'd build it, and he's building it. He's building it. It's amazing to me the power that he has. You know what I enjoy telling? I enjoy saying, hey, God's doing a work. Miracles have been happening. I'm real good at splitting churches. No, I mean it. I'm good. I took a church. I was there 6 months, and man, it was a wreck in 6 months. I needed it. They needed it too. Amen. We all needed it. But hey, I'm good at splitting them, but I ain't good at building them. But Jesus Christ is doing a phenomenal job in South Lyon, Michigan. Hey, you know what we ought to do? Go tell people what great things the Lord has done for us. You see, my testimony is not something I glory in. It's kind of a shameful thing sometimes. But it can also be a very powerful tool of God to help other people realize what Jesus Christ could do for them. And He can change your life, friend. The demoniac, once he got a hold of Jesus Christ, he didn't want to leave Him. But Jesus told him to go. And look in verse number 20. This man went from being a wicked, ungodly, devil-possessed man to being a preacher in verse number 20. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things God had done for him. And all men did marvel. You see, it's not about you and me. But for some reason, God chooses weak, wicked, sinful vessels to pull them out of the fire and make them something that He can use for His glory. Say, preacher, you have no idea how much of a mess I am. Let me be blunt with you. I don't give a rip. And neither does God. You see, you and I don't impress Him. How tough we are and how sinful we are doesn't impress God. What impresses Him is Jesus Christ. And if you allow Jesus Christ to get a hold of your life, Christian, if you allow Jesus Christ to consume your soul, He will use you way more than you ever thought He could. He delights in taking a mess and making something beautiful out of it. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, I thank You for all You've done for us. I thank You for Jesus Christ. God, I ask You now to speak to hearts. Help us, Father, to know Jesus Christ in a real way. Lord, if there's anybody here that's not saved, help them to get saved this morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's just keep our heads bowed for a moment. I know there's a lot waiting to happen when this service is over, but nothing more important than right now. The message doesn't even need any commentary this morning. Just as clear as it can be. Just as clear as it can be this morning. Maybe you're here this morning, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and you're saved. You're glad you're saved. You know you're on your way to heaven. But you're not serving the Lord like you could be. That maniac was told, you go home and you tell your family, your friends, you tell the people you know how great things God has done for you. That's the Christian life in all its simplicity. Just go tell somebody. Just go tell somebody what God's done for you. That's the Christian life at its most simplest, basic level. Just tell people what the Lord has done for you. Are you doing that? Are you doing that? Are you faithfully doing that when the Lord gives you opportunities all around you? Are you doing that? It's not complicated. Just go tell them what the Lord did for you. If you're here today and you're saved, maybe you're not living like you should. Your life would be an embarrassment if you were to tell people about Jesus Christ. Maybe your life wouldn't line up with what you're saying. And maybe that's why you keep quiet. But right now this morning, here's your opportunity. If you're saved, what a great day just to make it right with God, just to get things clean, just to get your heart right. And I'm just wondering now, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, nobody's looking around, but you'd say, I know I'm saved, I know I'm on my way to heaven, but I need God's grace in my life today. I need to make some changes, and I know I do, and God spoke to my heart today. Is there anyone like that here this morning? Just slip your hand up and put it right back down. All right, amen, amen. All right, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? You're saved, you know you're on your way to heaven. Not the kind of a testimony you should be, not the kind of a witness you should be, not faithful in that area in your life. But your heart this morning longs to be faithful. You want to do right. You want to make it right. You want to be a better testimony for the Lord. Is that you this morning? Is there anyone else this morning? Just slip your hand up and put it right back down. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Anyone else? All right, we're going to pray. I'm going to ask God to help you this morning. I'm going to ask God just to give you the grace. Repent of the thing. Talk to the Lord about it this morning. Ask Him to fix it. Ask Him to help you. Maybe before we pray, there's one more question. You're here this morning and you're not sure that you're saved. Maybe if you died today, you would not go to heaven. You're not certain that you have eternal life. Could we pray for you this morning? Is there anyone like that here today? You'd say, if I died today, I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know if I'd go to heaven or not. I'm not sure my sins are all forgiven, but I'd appreciate your prayers. Is there anyone like that this morning? Just slip your hand up and put it right back down. Is there anyone like that this morning? If I died today, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven. But I would appreciate it if you pray for me. Is there anyone like that? Just slip your hand up and put it right back down. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Anyone else? Just slip your hand up and put it right back down. We're not going to trick you into anything. We just want to pray for you this morning. And then you know we're here. We'll help you when we dismiss this service. If you want to talk to us about it, pray with someone about it, we're here to help you. Is there anyone else? Just slip your hand up and put it right back down. If I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to get it settled with God today. I'd like to know for sure that my sins are forgiven. Please pray for me this morning. Please pray for me this morning. Is there anyone else here today? Anyone at all? Just put your hand up and put it right back down. Let us include you in this prayer this morning. Anyone else? All right. Our Father, Lord, we do thank you so much for the message this morning. Thank you for the great...